This is Peter Davison, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello, I'm Colin Baker. You lucky people are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, the best podcast on the pod.
Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 454. I'm Adam, and she's dying, Doctor. And here's Kirby Bartlett-Sloan.
No, my dear Doctor, you must die. Die, Doctor, die.
Debbie Melrose.
I eat the celery. If nothing else, I'm sure it's good for my teeth.
Mary Lang.
You're a very confusing person to be with, I hope you know, Doctor.
Robert Haynes.
Do you think I'm mad? Do I frighten you?
Matthew Cressel. Yes.
If you meet a large, fuzzy, sticky ball.
Oh, is that it? I was waiting for something.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what she said.
And Isabella Pearson. What? I don't know why. You didn't watch it, did you? See, Corby. Oh, no, it doesn't matter. Just go, rawr, rawr. It's the pressure of the TARDIS, not a chicken. Yeah, she's just here because it's Father's Day and she's being a support, unlike the 50% of my children who haven't actually even said Happy Father's Day on Father's Day, which is quite interesting where it's the 50% of my children's birthday tomorrow and...
50%.
What can I say? And there's 50% of my children expecting to get married next year and they couldn't even say Happy Father's Day on Father's Day. Interesting. And furthermore... We're going to come on the show, but couldn't be bothered to watch Case of Androzani.
May I continue?
No, I'm not going to.
And got her fiancé to tell you that they couldn't be that she couldn't be bothered to watch it.
Nice dobbing. Well done.
I'd like to, of course, thank Matthew, star of Facebook and Facebook, for coming on the show this week.
And, you're most welcome, madam.
Lillian Robin says, crowded on the podcast today. Wow. You know, the stress I've been under, Lillian, just to get the show out in time for you.
I hope everybody's wearing their masks.
Isabella's yawning. Terry Marr says, hi, everybody, at the 20 Mega MG Doctor Who podcast. And then Laurie Nick says, hello, happy Dad's Day.
Happy Dad's Day. Right.
We shall begin. Don't worry, you'll keep up with the story here. It's Caves of Androzani.
Master.
Okay. What?
Just a reminder, I can only be on for
right, so you've just
hours.
Wasted 10 seconds of we could have been doing the show to tell me that we haven't got much time to keep you in the show. And that's just typical of Kirby, everybody. Right then, Caves of Androzani begins. Hang on, my scroll has stopped. I've had trouble with this thing today because it keeps on updating Adobe Creative Cloud all the time. I don't want it updated. Oh, no, it's quite good.
You tell it not to do that.
I don't want to tell. I want to update. It updates Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator. I say it in English. Right, so it begins with a shot of a big planet and a little planet. And then the TARDIS materialises in what actually looks like an alien landscape, which is quite remarkable for this era of Doctor Who, because most of the time they put the TARDIS somewhere and actually looks like it's in a quarry. But
Isn't that a famous quarry, that one?
Yeah, they've done a very good job of making it look like sort of like it did in that the Spaceman episode when they were actually in an American desert. Anyway, right, so...
Master?
Yes?
This particular quarry is actually called Master's Pit.
Is it? How appropriate. So anyway, the Doctor and Perry... A light from the TARDIS. That's a good word, isn't it? And find some bits of glass and do a bit of archaeology. Isn't Perry got some sort of... She's got a thing about archaeology, hasn't she? If I remember rightly. I can't remember.
I think you were just in archaeological...
Botany. But she had a sort of thing about... Because they were on an archaeological...
I guess because she was hanging around with her weird stepfather.
Stepdad.
Yeah. Thankfully for her, she got away from the weird stepfather. And now she's with the Doctor and they're doing some exploring. And then the next scene is some, obviously within some caves, and a Unfortunately...
Are they caves of Androzani?
Unfortunately, good effort with the monster, the magma monster, magic creature, magma
no,
creature
it's
monster,
not
whatever
good.
It's called. It was a good effort, but it's still I can't speak this one. You take over. I can't even speak.
It's terrible.
It is terrible. Yeah.
It looks like a bloke in a costume.
But they have a director who's actually trying to shoot around it and do the least he can with it. Mm. Unlike Bennett
Roberts.
But
it wasn't as bad.
We also had a director that bamboozled everyone by having that can't remember his name talk to the camera every now and then.
Yeah, but that's I quite like that.
That was a mistake.
Yeah.
I quite like that. He's doing
like
that to show what he's thinking. I quite like that.
Yeah, I actually like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
which wasn't how it was scripted, funnily enough. But,
yeah. it was interesting. And Fred looked at me when he started doing that and said, "What is he doing?"
Yeah.
So anyway, yes. What was I talking about before you interrupted me? Hang on, there was the army. Oh yeah, the magma creature is supposed to be scary, but it's better than the last creature they had in the Warriors of the Deep. The Murker. Is that what it was called? Much better.
Yes.
Than
yes. Anyway. They had quite a bit of money for this particular episode.
Oh. Anyway, so the doctor's found some very slippery glass type substance, unconveniently for Perry, who slips. Should actually slip on it. She rolls down it.
And bounces back
and
into shot.
And back up.
But she. I didn't see that. But anyway, so she's fallen down into into something mucky. At this stage, when I watched it originally, I didn't think it was anything sinister at the time until she started saying about the stinging legs and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we meet the sort
Hold
of...
Hold on, could I mention something about that?
About
because
what? What,
the
falling in the thing?
He uses his right hand to brush off the
here we go. Yeah.
But when you look later, his left hand's all covered with blisters.
Yeah, but
and
Robert,
that.
He touched his left hand with his right hand and vice versa. So
no,
therefore transferring said germs from one to the other. This is why
you
I have to wear, apparently have to wear gloves while going around the supermarket touching everything.
Makeup-y mistakey. Mm.
Yeah.
Joshua Dybal says, "Hi all, great to see you." Not nice. This is the sort of listener we're after. Right then, so then we meet the mercenaries, that chap that was in Star Trek Next Generation, i.e. Stotts, and his little sidekick Cropper, is it? I think it's Cropper.
Yep.
Anyway, the Doctor and Perry stumble across this group of tough guys, quite tough, aren't they?
Brutes, indeed.
But they duck down and get captured by the soldiers in nice sort of shell suits.
Yeah.
Nice costumes. In fact, I didn't think they were soldiers until they said they were soldiers.
They look like they were just guys in track suits.
Yes, and they get taken... Is it General Shallock, the chap with the tash?
Yes.
Yeah.
It does look... Sort of, I think they're trying to make him look a bit brigadierish, to be fair. Mm. And of course...
It didn't resonate with the Isla. She went, "Is that the brigadier?" I was like, not on that
generated brigadier. And then we meet Saladin. At this stage, I'll watch it over and over again trying to work out if this is the real Saladin or the android, but then I realise it is the android.
The eyes.
Because he's doing these strange sort of eyes, isn't he? Mm. But we don't know he's an android at this stage.
I pitch on until the real one talked about it, and they said, "Oh, yeah, that's right."
He's slightly sinister acting, yes, I like that.
Yes.
It's subtle enough.
Yeah, so the next person we need to meet is Morgus, who's holding... a very interesting looking remote control. I'm trying to work out what the logo is on it.
TV remote.
Yeah, it's a
it
TV
looks
remote.
Like just some TV remote control.
Yeah. I think it might be a Toshiba one. Because
they mentioned it on the info text, but I didn't write down. They mentioned the brand.
TT.
Oh, it says TP400 on it. I can't see the rest of the thing.
It says TP400 TT. So let's see what that.
Teletext. TT for teletext.
You only had an hour.
Yeah, well, we might be to get through episode one
before
he goes.
It's a dig for a remote control for a TV.
We established that, Kirby. You're not going to get that time back, you know that, don't you? And, of course, Crow Timon, who's an excellent character, And I'm just interested, when you see Morgus and his sort of ponytail, it reminds me, if you've watched a series called Only Fools and Horses, where Rodney has an episode in which he's trying to be cool and has a ponytail and he just clips on the back. And so I'm thinking that perhaps Morgus has got the same in black.
Yeah. And a bit of a topical reference, at one in an alternate universe, Ian Holm, who just passed away this week, would have played Morgus.
Oh, really?
Because yes, he was apparently approached but was busy doing something else at the time.
God. That's a bit of a shame, isn't it? Anyway, so the doctor,
you can buy that remote control from eBay for $36.50.
Why does anybody want?
It's 15 seconds off your time, then, Kirby. So you're wasting your own time. Just going to say.
He just wants to establish himself.
I will say, Kirby, if we don't finish this by the time you go, you won't have to have time to actually say what you think of it. Just think on that one.
Well, I can say what I think of it next.
No, that's pointless. Terry Miles says, kettle's on. Right, so anyway, the Doctor and Perry get delivered to General Shallock, I think that's his name, I may be wrong, but anyway. And I do love the Doctor's slightly cheeky attitude. Here it comes.
Stand there. Couldn't we have a chair? It's been rather a strenuous day.
You will stand there until I finish with you. And when you address me, you will call me Sir.
May I ask who you are, Sir?
I am General Chillak.
I was Chillak.
Commander of all federal forces on this planet.
Well done, sir. I suppose you started in the ranks.
Love it. And people wonder why I like the Fifth Doctor. Right, so yeah, it's, he's particularly doctory in this particular story.
He's brilliant in this one.
Morgus
For what it's worth, Robert Holmes, who wrote this, didn't know anything about the Fifth Doctor, so 90% of what we're reading, he was writing for the Fourth Doctor, because that's the Doctor he knew the best.
So what you're saying is that Davison could have played the Fourth Doctor much better than the Fourth Doctor. He would have been far more doctory. You
know, that's what we envisioned while he was writing this. A lot of these asides are ones that he could hear Baker doing.
Yeah, well, you could indeed do that, but he is the Doctor, so it works really well. Anyway, so immediately Perry and the Doctor are considered to be some sort of spies by both sides, so therefore they're in a sort of position where they can't really win. So for some reason,
always the case,
without a proper trial, they are sentenced to do death.
But by showing up, they set everything in the story in motion. If they hadn't showed up, everything would be fine. But because they've shown up, there's a whole, the story was originally going to be called Chain Reaction by Robert Holmes, and they literally have started a chain reaction of events by showing up.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty typical with almost any story, if the Doctor doesn't show up.
Yeah, but I haven't got a problem with that. I think it turns it into a good story. It's a bit... You know, obviously, I will say about certain aspects of it later on. So the Doctor and Perry are banged up in a squalid cell prior to their execution. And the Doctor does actually say, very unusually, sorry I got you into this, Perry. Well, she got herself into it, really. She did have the option to be dropped back off to Earth in the previous story, but she decided to come along and...
kind of invited herself along, really.
Yeah, she did, really.
Yeah.
She maybe knew not what she was going in for, though.
Well, maybe so, but yeah. Anyway, so we see a sort of a hairy hand just caressing a freeze frame of the Doctor and Perry on a tiny little screen.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful.
But what you didn't see was there was actually a picture on me of me just on the screen just before he started caressing that thing, and that's what he was referring to when he was saying beautiful, beautiful.
Oh, goodness.
If you say so.
So, there's also
Harry
a scene.
Stands?
There's
really?
Also
I
a scene.
Harry left a long time ago.
Shut up. There's also a scene in which Morgus is having a conversation with the president, who refers to the fact that the bat's milk that he's. Is it bat's milk? No, sorry, it's Betrox, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's bat milk, basically.
But it is bat milk.
Yeah.
He's keeping him young, but he hasn't had a lot for a while, so his hair's gone white.
How do they milk all the bats anyway?
And they're all a bit suspicious of each other. And then the Doctor and Perry are given their military execution, and it's a disgusting that they've been put these hoods on because they've been given the honour of being killed by military execution.
Wasn't that a good cliffhanger?
The machine guns fire, and then you think, oh, the blimmin' heck are they going to get out of that one? Obviously, yeah, I thought at the time.
The first time I saw this, I was not expecting that at all. What?
You were? When did you first see it then? Yesterday?
No. What?
First time?
7, 8 years ago, something like that.
Being naughty.
Your daughter.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Your daughter.
Where's my bloody phone gone? Bloody hell. This is very inappropriate. I'm trying to record a podcast. Why don't you just come on the show instead of...
Oh, okay, I can, but... I'm
Alexa, run the podcast.
I'm watching.
Well, no, Isabella sat next to me yawning. Oh, shut up. Right. Come on the show. I don't know, how did you get on last time? Through Kyle's doodah. This is top-notch podcasting, this. Yes? Through Kyle's... What's it? Yes? Okay. Is he on then? Is he connected to Skype?
I don't know.
We'll have to be then. Let me know. Right. Okay. See you in a minute. For God's sake. It started. Look, that's handy then.
The past is another country. 987 is just the Isle of Wight.
You could make yourself useful.
Oh God.
Right. Take that. And let them. Is he on? Oh, he's on. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, brilliant episode, wasn't it, Kyle?
What's that?
Yes, just go with the flow.
Okay.
Go with the flow. Right, so, Kyle, everybody.
Hi, Kyle.
Hello again.
Hi.
Sounds like you said bye, didn't it? Right then, so episode two. Hang on, why am I back on episode one? Everything's gone wrong. Right. This old video is not working very well, isn't it?
Oh, that's a shame.
Hang on. I'm going to have to reboot the DVD player at this rate. Uh-huh. It doesn't like the very old DVD I have of Cave of Androzani, because I actually watched it on BritBox.
Master?
Yeah, I know you haven't got much time left.
This DVD, if you say play all, give you a long file where they're all together. In this case, it actually plays them one at a time.
I'll be right back.
Oh, no, she's going.
What?
Yeah, going. What am I going to do? This is really bad.
I said I'll be right...
No, did you? Okay.
Yes.
I'm trying to get this... Oh, I'm getting wound up by this thing. Bear with, everybody. Bear with. Oh,
this.
God. I'm trying to get this to play the whole story. Play all that. That should do it.
Monday morning for me, Matthew.
Right. And it's playing one episode. I said play all, and it's only playing the one episode.
Yes. Yeah, I just told you what happened.
One at a time.
Hang on a second. Oh, I've got part two now. Right then. Okay, we're on part two.
Finally.
Oh,
yes.
Boy, you just didn't bother to listen to me.
Well, it's understandable.
you don't listen to Kirby.
Right then, so on the feed, it says, Lillian Robin said, yes, sir. And then she says, hi, Kyle.
Hello.
Episode 2 begins with the recap, and we actually see the execution of the Doctor and Perry. And I seem to remember that being quite horrific, or even horrific, when I watched it at the time it went out. I thought it was quite graphic.
You swallowed!
I didn't swallow.
Somebody really loudly swallowed.
That was me creaking my chair. So the execution occurs, much to the appreciativeness, I suppose you'd call it, of Morgus and the President, who quite enjoyed watching it live on their little feed. And the next scene, very confusingly, we see Shara's Jek with the Doctor and Perry. Of course, he's fawning over Perry, which very, very makes me feel very uncomfortable.
Yes.
Very, very Phantom of the Opera here.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was likened to this at the time, wasn't it?
So basically, he's perving over Perry. Well, I'll tell you what, the general is very upset that it turns out that what they executed was, in fact, androids. But apparently only one of the soldiers realises this. They sort of send him down to a fate
killed.
That is going to be death, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Send him on a deep penetration mission.
Hey, that's what she said.
She said.
Yes. Lillian Robin says, where did Izzy go? Well, she's out there somewhere. Presumably to come back. She did say she was coming back. Don't know whether she means today, but I'm sure that'll be at some point.
Or next podcast.
Yes. Yeah. So, there's another. The next scene is a scene where Stotz and Croper, or whatever his name is, have a bit of an argument. That's a really good scene. But apart from the bit where Stotz sort of, he's supposed to be dragging Croper to the end of all this precipice, but it looks like Croper's actually, he's pushing himself to the precipice. He's
helping himself, yeah. Yes.
And then he's nearly forced to bite a sort of suicide pill. It's a good scene, though. I like it.
It is a good scene.
Yes.
Yeah, very good.
Perry, meanwhile, she's moved on from the stinging legs to cramps now. There's a really good scene where she's perving over Perry, and then the doctor steps in and he said, and a mine, almost equivalent to mine, which is quite nice. That could have been my quote, couldn't it?
Yes, it could have been. Maybe you want to edit that too.
No, I won't. I might not edit anything at this rate. Depends what sort of mood I'm in, really. So I'm just moving forward a little bit. There's some lovely, the music's really quite atmospheric, and they use some very long fading shots in between scenes, which is really a sort of creates more of an atmosphere for the episode. Matthew Kressel says, is Izzy gone somewhere? Yeah, she's over there. I just said she's somewhere else in the house. And there's also a point when Sharaz Jek has one of his sort of, he's not a very attitude-y sort, and then the doctor is more of a tennis player than a cricketer. What is that funny? Then the doctor gets cramp, and then when doctor gets cramp, and they have this discussion about it.
EMS.
Celatine does a really funny laugh when he realises they're dying. I found that was really quite amusing. In fact, I'm going to play that back because it's so funny. There we go.
Large fuzzy sticky ball.
You have.
Is it funny? You're dying.
Oh, marvellous sense of humour. Try not to get hysterical. What are you...
yeah, that was really good. Oh, and I love also there's a scene where he sort of eats his I suppose it's a soup or slop in a very sort of weird sort of way where he licks the underside of the spoon and the other side of it and stuff. I have to race through this because Kirby keeps on telling me he hasn't got much time.
Oh, you could just go at your normal rate and then I'll tell you about it.
Well, my normal rate would be done by now.
No.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Anyway, so I forgot to mention that the Saladin in with them is the real Saladin. So this is when we discover that there's androids everywhere. Of course, he uses androids to guard the place anyway, but they wear these belt buttles, which are supposed to fool the androids into thinking that the people that they will, because they'll shoot humans on sight, aren't in fact human. Stotz and his team meet Sharaz Jek to do a deal for some Spectrox, which is essentially the currency on Androzani's. And also there's a sort of feeling that although it's a restorative sort of medicine, it's actually a bit of a drug, really, because everybody wants it and stuff, you know. The doctor wants to get out.
I think it makes you a bit younger, too.
Pardon?
Yeah. You know, when he's talking to the president.
Yeah.
You
wouldn't believe I'm 165 million years old.
So, you're back.
Yeah.
Front and sides, too.
Front sides, yes.
It's one of Kirby's...
I didn't have a chance to say it.
So the doctor, he wants to get out, and he tests the android, because obviously he knows the android will shoot humans on sight, and of course his physiognomy is somewhat different.
But, noticed that the look, his hearts are clearly on the outside of his coat?
Yes.
What a shame.
I mean, you've heard of wearing your heart on your sleeve, but
yeah.
And then he says, when he fools the android, and he says, "What a clever little android you are!" He detaches its solenoids, and they all escape. And but not for long, obviously, because there's another little gun battle. Perry then gets captured by the army. The doctor gets left behind, and Yeah, one of the androids gets blown up, and the Doctor sort of gets sort of threatened by a chap in costume. End of episode two. How are we doing here, Kirby? Where are we up to now? Half past seven. That's not too bad. Is it going to play in the next episode? The next episode. Thank goodness for that. But he doesn't get done in by the magma creature. Perry is gradually feeling worse, obviously, and Saladin explains to the general what's been going on. And the Doctor goes off he decides to go back to the meeting with Saladin and Jack. And subsequently, Sharrow's Jack says, "Oh, take him, he's no use to me, he's only really interested in Perry." There's a point in which they all think he's a spy, so they decide to try and use the androids to tear his arms off.
Yes.
Tear them off slowly. I like the way you said slowly. Like, yeah, it's not going to actually happen, so really tear them off slowly. Because if it was real androids, real tearing off, straight away. Yeah,
just fake it long enough for us to move on.
Meanwhile, Perry's having a bit of a nap. Saladin stupidly wakes her up. Which then alerts Android Saladin into realising there's something going on in the other room.
Yeah, but he can see through the walls anyway.
He wouldn't have thought to look through the wall if Saladin hadn't actually woken up.
He's going to
Perry.
Anyway.
Because okay. The plot demanded it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a funny noise. Very funny noise going on. Is that in the Quinn household?
What noise?
Don't know.
Your daughter has decided to go on the treadmill.
There you go.
Oh, there what? You go. 20 megabyte treadmill podcast. The Doctor gets tied. They go on his spaceship because they're going to take him back to Androzani Major. So they tie him to a wall and put a blindfold on him. He gets a lot of blindfolds on him in this episode. He starts having a conversation with his little sidekick Morgus, who takes ages to notice the Doctor in the background.
I know.
And somebody's obviously operating that camera.
Yeah, that's what I hate about that. It should be a still bloody camera.
Yes, it should bloody well be a bloody still bloody camera.
But it's
camera,
controlled by
Robert?
A cameraman, obviously.
Yes, it would. So interesting that after the last comment of Matthew Kressel saying she's Izzy gone somewhere, nobody's noticed she's back.
Yay!
Because I'm a ghost.
Oh, boy. Right then, so Saladin. I'll tell you what, the android Saladin does some superb sort of shifty looks to the general in the background. It really is brilliant. The Doctor, meanwhile, works his way out of his bindings and uses a what would you call this thing? What's your name again? What would you call this thing? That thing? What do you think that looks like?
Laser. Lightsaber thing.
Lightsaber thing. That's what I... To cut through... hurt himself initially and then cut through the chains and stuff. Perry's getting worse and worse. She gets caught by some pervert in a gimp mask. And the Doctor takes sort of control of the spaceship and heads back to the miner. Morgus kills the president by pushing him down an empty mine lift shaft. I just love the way he plays it. Oh dear, the president just.
Very well.
What did you say? He's done very well. What do you mean?
No, I thought that was done well.
Yes, the way I'm just saying the way Morgus played it, the sort of very sort of monotonically. So.
Oh dear, what has happened here? Yeah.
Whoopsie doodle.
Yeah, and then the poor old Perry stuck with Pervy, and he just wants to keep touching her, and she's like cringing away, and finds out a bit about his rather troubled past. The Doctor is meanwhile he's sort of passed out a little bit while trying to steer the spaceship back to the planet, and in his slumber we see some funny things going across his eye. Line,
but
which we've since established that he's starting to regenerate, and he blinks his eyes and he blinks away the regeneration, and focuses back on trying to
crush. That doesn't work when you first watch it, though. It's only when you get to the
end. I know,
end,
but if you notice,
if you're re-watching it,
the sort of regeneration stripey things go across the front of the screen, actually out the... I mean, initially, when you watch it, you think it's on the screen, but no, it's actually over the front of it, so...
But they do that with the smoke, too. When the camera moves, the smoke moves with the camera.
Mm. No, so but I think on this instance, it was meant to be him blinking away the regeneration.
It's in the info text, and Graham Harper talks about it in interviews. But it's something I think that's more noticeable on a second viewing when you actually know what it is. Because the first time round, exactly. I know when I first saw it in 07, I think it was kind of like, what is that?
Yeah.
Because as Robert says, the camera shifts a bit, and the effect does too, because it's overlaid.
Yeah, but did Graham Harper say that it was supposed to be a bit of what we think it is?
Yeah. He says so. He said in interviews. I think he actually says on Kirby May know if he's had the chance to hear it. I think it's on the audio commentary as well. He comments at that point that's what that's supposed to be.
I think that.
Yeah, and it was a stylistic decision that he made rather than something Bob Holmes put in the script as well.
Okay, thanks, Matthew. So that's how you do it, Kirby. Very useful bit of information just when you need it. So, there's a great scene when Stotts breaks through.
Vengeance's mind saith.
Stotts breaks through the door with his little metal knife, which is supposed to be a laser cutter. And I love the scene when he reaches in and burns himself. That was really good.
Yeah.
But the doctor's determined. So if he shoots him now, he's going to crash the spaceship. If he doesn't shoot him, he's going to sort of crash land the spaceship, so they got more chance, really. So he tells him, look, I'm not going to let you stop me. I'm going to go and rescue my friend because I owe it to her.
Stop me now!
Yes.
Three! Damn!
So after that, when he does eventually crash the spaceship... there's a long scene of them. Almost, you could play the Benny Hill music over the scene where they're running through the sort of dunes.
Just because you should doesn't mean that you should. Not just because you can doesn't mean you should.
I think it should be done. I think somebody out there, not necessarily me, should actually put that together. I think it'd be really good fun. The BBC would, of course, take it off.
You thought of it. You should do it.
Maybe make a TikTok out of it. Hey, Isabella. Oi, what are you doing, my hand gel? That costs money. That does. Anyway, right, so the army, meanwhile, are closing in on Sharazchek, and there's a battle going on between them and the androids. The androids are doing quite well in the battle. The doctor's sort of chase-off ends with him doing a Sarah Jane roll down a slightly steeper slope. And they're just about to finish him off because he says, sorry, I can't make it, Perry, and the mud bursts start occurring.
You'd have been very dizzy after that.
Yeah, it was quite a good...
At least the doctor has the excuse that he's suffering from, spectroxoxemia, unlike Sarah Jane, who just tripped down a hill.
Yeah, but that was a slightly steeper hill in this particular instance.
Not even a hill.
So the doctor makes it back to Sharazchek eventually, after Morgus and Stotts do some plotting to try and take all the... Because Morgus has now joined Stotts on his little ship. And they're plotting to basically bugger everybody else and keep the money to themselves.
He's got nowhere to go once the secretary takes over, has he?
Crowl Timmin?
Yeah, so... When the army start breaking into Sharazchek's little room, he tries to use Perry as a sort of shield, and then him and the general have a bit of a scrap, and the general pulls off the gimp mask, revealing my face.
and takes exception to the viewing of the face.
Then gets locked out of the what would you call it? It's a sort of his hideout, I suppose you'd call it. Anyway, he gets locked out and
bunker?
The mud bars. Pardon?
Lair?
Bunker.
Lair, that's the word for it, lair.
Underground lair.
Yeah, the mud thing. There's a scene, isn't there? The doctor sort of on a ledge looking down at these mud flows. Yeah. Anyway, he gets killed by the scalding mud. Sharazchek has forgot to put his mask back on and scares the living daylights out of Perry by showing her his face. And of course, that makes him.
If you just saw somebody like that, would you just happen to, come out with a scream or something?
I know. It's very traumatic for Sharaz Jake, this whole thing. But anyway, but it makes him curl off into ball and grizzle a little bit. And then that brilliant scene in which Krautimmen has taken over, very sort of arrogantly sat at his desk and stuff. And again,
I love that. That
again, Morgus, I don't like the tone of your voice. Which is really
I wish that was all I didn't like about you.
Yes, so good. So, the Stotts sort of finishes off his compatriots by just killing them. Not a lot of survivors in this story.
I thought that was done
just
well.
Just this one? Yeah, everybody dies.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Doctor finally makes it back to Perry, and Sharaz Jake actually lets him carry her. We get the iconic, she's dying, Doctor, which gets repeated quite a few times. Then he sticks a load of celery under her nose, which looks rather rotten, this celery, because apparently it's got restorative powers for Time Lords, but didn't do much for Perry,
I
to be fair.
I can't stand celery.
No, it gives me the runs, funny enough. Just thought I'd say.
Thank you for sharing.
We find out there is an antidote for Spectroxemia. It's the milk of the queen bat. See, I'm helping Kirby out here because I'm trying to get this done in time for him to moan about it. I mean, to say something about it. The Doctor goes on a mission to get the milk from the queen's bats. Of course, he's a Time Lord. He can store oxygen. I'm trying to rush through this, Robert. He can store oxygen because he's a Time Lord.
I thought she had corgis.
Like the Queen's corgis, yeah.
So while he's going down, they finds the dead magma monster. And then the poor old Perry is unconscious at this rate, is being perved over by Sharaz Jek. Who's supposed to be actually just using the magic damp cloth, which has finally returned after 30 years of absence from Doctor Who. The cold damp cloth has done its trick on this particular occasion. He finds the dead bat, gets the surprisingly fresh. He's not dead. He's not dead yet. Oh, are they? The hibernating bat, and gets the milk from it. And
I think you'll find Adam.
Her, all right. Did I say he?
Yes.
These are alien bats. You don't know.
Yuck.
So finally, Morgus and Stotts arrive in the lair, and there's a bit. All the boys start acting a bit tough, and Morgus rips off his mask to reveal my face, and fortunately. That was Sharaz Jek ripped off his mask, not Morgus. It doesn't scare Stotts and Morgus much, but there's a big fight. Sharaz Jek tries to push Morgus into another lightsaber, but Stotts shoots him. And then Stotts gets shot by Android Saladin. But Sharaz Jek is able.
Holds the dying Sharaz.
Yes, I did love that. Yeah, just holds him. Yeah.
Yes, hold me, Saladin. Yes, and he does. And then the Doctor arrives, grabs
just
Perry.
Just in time.
Grabs Perry, runs back to the TARDIS. His coat's in a right state. I mean, he would have thought he'd tied himself up a bit. But Turlo would have done that, wouldn't he? He nearly drops the bat's milk. Well, he does actually. He drops enough of it, so he can't have any.
The vials breaks, but it's not that clear.
What's not clear?
It was milky.
The fact it was milk anyway, but you know, it just
he had two vials.
Oh, you didn't see him drop the other one. Oh, I didn't see that. Anyway, so he dematerializes the TARDIS just before a massive mud burst explodes.
See him drop Perry.
He gives the bat's milk to Perry. Has almost instant results, and then. Says the
amazing
iconic
stuff,
oh, here we go, let's play it.
Well, my husband tended to say that about
Taboo. So anyway, we'll talk through the regeneration. So he collapses on the floor panting and not feeling too good, obviously, because he wasn't able to take the and then he gets a great view of sorry Isabella, I should really cover your eyes at this point. No, I'll rephrase that. We get a great view.
He got the bat's milk?
He said he did as well.
I didn't do the
Peter
shot.
Peter Davidson has said in interviews he was basically acting his heart out and getting off stage.
Finished. Enough for you.
See, this goes to prove we couldn't actually do a commentary on an episode.
Something I can do, tell me.
Oh, I'll tell you what, when Deb saw this, but she was just playing when she was in the other room, and she said it's terrible acting by Nicola Bryant.
Don't give up. You can't leave me now.
I might regenerate. I don't know.
He obviously hasn't read the script at this point, because I think I probably would have known that if I was going to regenerate. If I was,
feels different this time.
Laurie Nick says TMI.
Much information.
What was it you
always
told me, Doctor?
Well, that
Nicola. Right. Celery. No, celery. Your celery, sir. Your celery.
Right, I'll move it forward a little bit because there's a lot of heads going around the doctor's head at this particular
die, point. Die, Doctor, die.
No, we don't
doctor.
Want him to die, Robert.
Die, Doctor.
Obviously, you haven't heard one of my jokes just before that particular. When I watched this back originally, I was very disappointed that Peter Davison's face completely disappears before the explosion. Which is around about now.
Doctor?
You're expecting someone else?
That's
Colin Baker.
Three eyes in one breath.
Three
breath
eyes
makes
in one breath.
Rather egotistical young lady.
What's happened?
Change, my dear.
Yeah.
And it seems on a moment too soon.
Good old Colin. Yes, there we go. That's the case of Androzani. Now, normally I would say what I thought of it first, but as Kirby's been in a bit of a hurry to get through this thing.
Well, I've got 10 minutes.
Oh, good. Shall I take 10 minutes to talk about it then? Okay, Cage of Androzani. Right, though, I'm really struggling looking through this, trying to pick out things to take the mickey out of, to be fair.
Magma Master.
I watched it through and I was just jaw open throughout the whole story and telling people to shut up so I could actually listen to it and watch it and enjoy, because it really is a story on its own. There's nothing like it throughout this era of Doctor Who, I mean, the classic era. I don't normally like dark things, story-wise, in regards to, I don't like the Batman films because they're a bit dark. But because Doctor Who is not usually this dark, I just totally was on board with this one. It was just magnificent drama, magnificent acting, writing, directing. When it came, obviously, as I've said so much about, don't worry about that. I've said so much about how much I love the Fifth Doctor. Even watching it back now, I felt quite emotional on that scene, because episode 4 is probably my favourite episode of all time. The story isn't, but the episode 4 is so good. It's just totally engaging. It goes past in a blink. It's brilliant. And that scene when the Doctor's is risking everything to save her, and he comes back and he obviously has to regenerate at the end. It's so moving. And I think this could actually be the most moving regeneration of all, even though if it's not done particularly well. But yeah, it's so good. It's brilliant, this story, and it's such a shame to see Peter go. What did you think about it, Kirby?
Brilliant.
Kirby, is he still there?
I am one of those people who does not consider this to be like the top.
Story. I think I need to get my my jingle folder open. Carry on.
I mean, yes, it is very, very good. I it's one that I will gladly watch at any time because it's very, very good, but it is it's not one of my favorites. I'd say it's in the lower of the top, my top 10, but a lot of
people, you're not in the quiz this week, because you're losing points.
Yeah, it is in my top 10. Yeah.
Oh, it is in your top 10, make your mind up.
It's in my top 10.
Yeah,
but it's like probably number
definitely up there.
I was trying to find my list a few minutes ago and I couldn't find it. I'll find it later. Anyway, yeah, it's very good. It's got some I have problems with, like, the creature looks strange,
monster.
Very rubbery. It's one of the worst creatures there
is.
Yes,
I know it is. We can't do much about that, can we?
Yeah, no. The thing is, there are other stories with bad creatures that are better. I mean, you have to love the giant clams.
Genesis of the Daleks.
Genesis.
That's not all that makes it lower for me. It's just not one of my favorites. It's in the top 10.
Okay. Right then, who should we go for next then, Isabella? Not for you. I mean, not Isabella. You don't have to say anything because you haven't seen. Who do you think? Who should we go for next? Matthew?
Sure.
Sure. We're going for Sure next. Who's Sure?
Tim Shaw.
Oh, I'm getting a dirty look, so we'll go for Matthew. Matthew, what did you think?
I'm actually going to kind of go with Kirby on this one. It's not one of my favorites.
Heresy.
By any means.
Yay. Thank you, Matthew.
You're welcome. And I don't get me wrong. It's good. It's very good. But...
You heretic.
It's very much a example of style over substance, I think, in terms of the script and whatnot. I mean, it is essentially a Robert Holmes doing his greatest hits album. You've got the Gunrunners and... Yeah, well, you've got... Look, let me follow you through this. So you got the Gunrunners, you've got the Planet, you've got the two factions who are supposedly fighting a war, but one of them's actually supplying the other side with weapons. Power of Kroll, anybody. You've got the Phantom of the Opera vibe with Shara's Jek, which, of course, you know, had been used, as Robert pointed out, with Magnus Grill in the Talons of Wang Chiang. So it's essentially... I mean, it's Robert Holmes going over the tropes that he's already used. What it feels like, more than anything, and Robert and Mary may know where I'm going with this because I watched this again a few weeks ago before watching it again today, it doesn't really feel like Doctor Who. It feels like an episode of Blake 7, which is what Bob Holmes had been writing in between the two.
Have you seen Blake 7?
Yes, I love Blake 7. This did feel very much like it.
How did you throw your voice into Isabella's mouth then?
It's very much a Blake 7 episode masquerading as a Doctor Who story. But also, you know, on the one hand, the Doctor and Perry show up and they set everything in motion. You know, yes, the war's going on. Yes, all this stuff would have happened. But things escalate and things get really bad just because the Doctor and Perry show up and get mistaken for somebody's spies and everything else. So in that regard, you know, they caused the whole story to be bad. It's like Human Nature, Family of Blood in that respect. If they hadn't showed up, all hell have broke loose. On the other hand of having said that, they don't actually do much in the story. The Doctor just keeps running around and getting recaptured. Perry spends most of her time moaning and dying. So on the one hand, he does. And that's, you know, it's a very Fifth Doctor story in that respect. Because, you know, thinking about things like failing to save Adric in Earthshock or the entirety of Warriors of the Deep, which ends up with a giant massacre with everybody dying at the end of it. Mm-hmm. The Fifth Doctor is all about good intentions gone wrong. And here he manages to do the most basic thing he can, which is save his companion's life, which is, finally he gets a bit of a triumph there. But I think the reason that everybody holds this story up the way they do is because it comes across so well, and that's because of Graham Harper's direction. If Peter Moffat or Pennant Roberts, who did Warriors of the Deep, had directed this story, we would not be talking about it now in glowing terms, I guarantee you. The story works the way it does because it was so well directed, and also Roger Limb's music, which I adore so much, so I actually bought the MP3 of the soundtrack off Amazon. It's a good story, but it's a case of style over substance. More than that, while we say there's nothing else like it in Classic Who, one of my problems with the story is, in fact, nothing to do with the story at all. It's the fact that next season, Colin Baker's first season, because this story had gone down so well, because it was so successful with audiences in terms of ratings, with the fans, and as a production, it becomes the template for what they're going to try to do throughout next year. And there's a failure to understand that this works. It's what happened with Goldfinger with the James Bond films. It was such a huge success that they kept trying to emulate it without understanding it's a happy accident that everything came together. And it ends up becoming, for my money, detrimental to the franchise. So it's a good story. It's a brilliant one-off on its own right, but it's style over substance. It's good, but ultimately it's got some negative effects on the series as a whole. So I can't call it one of the all-time greats. I don't rank it in my top 10, but it's got its good points, and it's a brilliant one-off.
Thank you, Matthew. I'll just say that it took him 50 minutes to make a James Bond reference, so well done. Robert, what did you think?
Big finish yet. Give me time.
Robert? Robert?
I'm with you, Adam, because I love this.
One thing is, like, because like you, I watched it when it first went out, and it was so unlike, I guess it was like the Fifth Doctor on steroids compared to what had come before. And I think the direction that's been pointed out was brilliant. I wish they could have cut out the magma creature because it was just terrible. I think that's the one thing that sort of lets the story down. I think a lot of the special effects are handled very well. The president falling to his death.
Yes.
Comes to mind. Even like when you see the doctor, you know, working his way to get the bat's milk. There's a little shot of him and all the mud rushing through, and it looked quite effective.
It did.
But I think a great cast. All the actors were just so perfect in their roles. And I like the happy accident with Morgus, you know, speaking to the camera instead of speaking to the side of it, kind of thing.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
That, I thought that was a nice touch. And just great dialogue, you know, memorable dialogue. Things like, where is it? Don't mock me, Doctor. Beauty I must have, but you are dispensable.
Yes.
Or things like, you have the mouth of a prattling jackanapes, but your eyes, they tell a different story. You know, just sparkling dialogue like that. Yeah. And even the design of Sharaz Jek's mask and his outfit, you know, just suited the story. And, you know, as I said before about the android holding Sharaz while he dies.
Yeah.
Things like that was a nice little touch. I did think they could have done a bit better with the androids that blew up, by padding them out a bit better so they're not obviously just a suit that's been blown up, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I just found the pacing was great, and, you know, some really excellent cliffhangers. You know, for once they didn't cheat the cliffhanger with seeming, you know, as Perry and the Doctor getting shot. It was no light trick. You actually saw them get shot. But obviously not them, because they're androids, But I got caught up with Perry sort of dying, and then, you know, the Doctor's great sacrifice, his basically his life to save his companion, and that personal sort of story was quite touching.
Yes.
So I really, really enjoyed it, and it's a story I can watch again and again.
Thank you, Robert. That's more like it, everybody.
Master?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go upstairs. I may be back if they're not ready for
me. Well, just in case you're not.
So in this case, I'm going to use this quote for my leaving the podcast today. Sorry, mustache.
Okay, thank you for that.
Okay. I might be back. Bye.
Right then, Debbie, what did you think?
It's very difficult to follow such eloquent gentlemen, but I will try my best.
Eloquent?
You both are very eloquent. And I like the fact that this story, every episode had a story arc in it. It wasn't just following on. Every episode was a little, almost a seeming little story in itself. As you can tell, I really enjoyed this one. I didn't think I would because of all the hype, and I've read a lot.
Had you seen it before?
I have seen it before. I saw it the first time round, and I remembered after I watched it that my dad had it on video. He had a lot of Doctor Who on video when VHS was really a big thing, and we had a lot of Doctor Who so we could watch again and again. Things were released, and a lot of the Davidson era was released on VHS. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a lot of that. It's odd because I have watched it and I know the story and I've read the book, but I hadn't really sat down and just gone bonk all the way through, which is basically what I did because I left it so late to watch it. I watched all four episodes together and I was riveted all the way through. I was enjoying it. I was sat there enjoying myself, but I was also laughing my head off
at some of the
lines, the magma monster, And the way he turned around suddenly to look at the camera to discuss it. The first time he did it, I was a bit shocked. And the second time I did it, I was laughing my head off every time he did it. And no, that wasn't the effect that was they were trying for. But for me, it provided a little bit of comedic, almost relief, like relief to what was going on around the Doctor. And you knowing it was the Doctor's, you know, last hurrah. And yeah, it was good to watch. Isla kept asking questions, and it was just... The music was good. The acting was great. What's the name of the guy who played the Phantom? I want to call him Christopher Gable.
Christopher Gable, yes.
I first met him in Slipper and the Rose, which is obviously a Cinderella musical that he was in.
He was like, a dancer.
Late 70s, and he's a dancer in it. But I recognised his voice, and that's what made me go, well, where have I seen him before? And yeah, there was. And you can see it the way he moved as well, which is always good when you get a villain who is being portrayed by a dancer, like the child catcher and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. He's a ballet dancer. And you know, you can see in the way that they move that they're more aware of every little movement that they're making. And he just seemed... He was a good bad guy, but also a bad guy you can empathise with, especially when he was being
by
his creation at the end. It was very Frankenstein, the last bit, I must say. But as you say, I'm a big fan of Blake Seven, and it felt very Blake Seven. It felt Blake Seven. That's probably why I enjoyed it so much. But I get the hype. I understand it. And there's been some really strong episodes. And I know people will disagree with me or agree with me, but... It's in my top 10 for a reason, and there it is. So there you go.
Yeah, I'd say it's in my top 10. Well done, Debbie. That makes it 3-2 to Case of Androzani.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Here
does
comes
it?
The decider.
Yeah.
What do you think of it, Mary?
Well, I mean, I can't really complain. I mean, there are things you could pick up. I mean, you know, you've got...
You can't complain, Harry. You know,
Harry bouncing, you know, when she's supposed to be falling down.
That was brilliant. Yeah.
And Doctor running across open country with all these shooters, and they can't even nick him, you know.
He's not even zigzagging, you know. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Faster than bullets.
Typical Doctor Who, you know, the Doctor never gets injured, no matter how, you know, out there he is.
He did get injured.
Well, no, not by being shot.
Toxemia.
No, I'm talking about being shot, Robert.
Yeah.
Okay. But what I have to say for it is that I felt like Debbie, I was laughing, but I was laughing in the right places, not laughing because the acting was bad, or, you know, the extras were, you know, not in sync with the rest of the scene, or, you know, things that were unintended. I laughed because the script, you know, was well written, and so the Doctor's comments, you know, that were amusing or any lighthearted moment gave me that relief of laughing. So I appreciated that, and I think Graham Harper did an extraordinary job of directing. And what I read was that the production people were keeping John Nathan Turner kind of out of the way while they were doing this one, because his idea of Doctor Who at this time was he wanted, you know, guest stars and glitzy sets and, you know, showbiz, babe, you know, was his idea.
Time lash.
Yeah. so they
We almost had David Bowie playing Shara's Jack as a result of that.
That would have been good.
I don't think it was David Bowie. What I read, was it Roger Daltrey?
I think Del Ponte.
Yeah.
It was... Yeah, the part of Salatine was offered to Roger Daltrey of The Who. So, but the thing is, it was seriously written, it was seriously directed, and all the actors were 100% into it, you know, the seriousness of it. Exactly. So I think that's why it has such a big impact on us all. Now, what I've read is that Colin Baker is reported to have been hopping up and down in the wings, anxious to film his debut, and he had to wear one of Davis's spare costumes, but he had to do it with the flies undone because in order to get into the pants.
Davison reckoned he had a triangle cut out of the back of his pants to.
Okay, but it was kind of a disappointment having the regeneration with Davison laying down, and then when we get to Baker, he's sitting up. I would like to have seen more of a transition happen there. I didn't like that very much. And the episodes really overran, and so they had to cut them down. And of the things that I read about that were cut out, the only one that really struck me as kind of significant is that they cut out the part where the doctor knows that Salentine is an android from the start, as the caves are warm, but Salentine never sweats. And I thought that I don't think it ruined the story, but I thought it would have been interesting that from the start that he knew that. And I also read that Christopher Gable playing Jarrus Jeck, and yes, Debbie identified that he is a dancer. He was with the Royal Ballet.
Yes.
And he was originally auditioned for the part of Salentine, but he requested to do the part of Jarrus Jeck. But Graham Harper was surprised by the request because he was mad that he would want to play a role where his face wasn't seen. But he was so into, you know, doing the part that that he did get. So, a mixed thing. And I mean, I think against my better judgment, I think I enjoyed it more than I expected to for a lot of good reasons. And I agree with, you know, just about everything everybody else has said. So there you go.
Way.
Well done, Mary. So that's 4-2 for Caves of Androzani. That's it for the... Oh, well, hang on. Isabella, what did you think? I mean, from what you saw of it, from what you were flicking through on the screen, did you think you might have enjoyed it had you had the chance to watch it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's a yes, of course. Kyle, what would you think had you managed to see it?
I think yes.
That's what we're after. Now, Alicia, you have seen it.
Alicia's scarpered off.
Is she? Why?
Because it's Alicia.
Huh. She left the house?
No, she's upstairs. I can hear her now, and she's saying yes.
Okay. Not totally convinced by that, but there we go. There is a quiz coming. Right then, so I'm not on. You know, you're doing the quiz. You're actually asking. You're asking the questions.
Oh, God. The quiz is
going to
go on for.
No, it's not. Stop being awkward. I've just dropped half the questions on the floor and my phone. Right then, it's time for feedback.
Mix them up again.
Feedback.
So, he's not here. Kirby's not here, so therefore I have to look it up on the 20 Megabyte.2 podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
I'll be
right back. Oh, she's going
so
again.
Bad.
I just
want
to do something.
Oh, I hope you could help me reading this feedback back.
I can't read.
You mean you can't read?
I've only been in lockdown for a couple of months.
So,
sure.
I'll go through it then.
Have to read.
I'll be back.
Ow, just ran over my own foot. That really hurt.
Not having a very good evening.
Right. Magic, do you want to sit on... Where is he? Magic, come here. Oh, you're going out there. Magic's following her around. Trying to go. Okay. Right, Artie Ray says, my favourite episode ever. Now, Artie's quite young. She's in her early 20s, so that's quite interesting. Jeff Waddle says, nowhere near as good as fandom says it is. It's so bleak. Well, it is bleak. It's Bleak's 7. Because he says it's the best story Blake 7 ever made. But while it's easily one of Davison's best ones, this kind of stuff is not for me. And Graham Sheridan says, Jeff, yep, with you 100%. So Jeff gets one of... Graham gets one of these. That didn't play properly, so I'll play it again. Thank you. Robert Vence Jr. says, change, my dear, even for a doll. And I've got that regeneration figure of Colin Baker in its pack. Well, they call it brand new in box, isn't it?
Mint condition, yes. Yes.
As well as the one of my favourite ones, which is the fifth doctor in fourth doctor's garb regeneration figure.
I've got that one.
Love that one.
I've got the little Titan figure of that. It's really cool.
Graham Sheridan says, Robert, now... That was a cosplay I planned to do about 8 years ago.
Why 8 years ago?
Yeah. Robert Vence Jr. says, my review of Peter's last story. I know this story is overrated, but I don't care.
Why do people keep saying overrated?
There's a lot more press about this than quite a few of the...
It's only because in a poll, it was very highly rated, wasn't it, by fans. It was quite close to Genesis.
It won the Doctor Who magazine... Well, the Doctor Who magazine poll for the 84 season, it came out on top. In the it's always
that's what she said.
Top 10 or so.
Yeah, it was second, wasn't it?
And and in the 2009 Mighty 200 poll that DWM did, it was the number one story and held that spot for 5 years. So, you know, fandom seems to have a very high opinion.
So essentially, it's quite good. Right then, pale rehash of the Phantom of the Opera with Shara's Jack eating the metal scenery. My favourite episode is episode 3 with the Doctor doing his impression of James Cagney from White Heat. Top of the World, Ma. I know Peter's impression was from an old Doctor Who story. I like how they made Perry look sicker and sicker. Well, I'm not sure it's partly down to Nicola Bryant's acting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did a good job.
Episode 4 is the action and regeneration. Peter was acting his heart out on this one, knowing that it was his last one. Peter said in the commentary that in the regeneration scene he was acting his heart out, but Nicola's endeavours stood out. We get Colin Baker as the new Doctor. Change, my dear, and it seems not a moment too soon. I'm going to come out and say this: I'm not a Sixth Doctor fan. I only like 2 or 3 of his stories. My fanboy rating is 4 out of 5. Now, I don't think you can blame Colin for the lacking in his stories. That has to go down to the writing. But we'll talk about that in the next few weeks. Debbie Melrose.
I noticed Robert has posted the DVD cover from the original US DVD release, which I can't help but laugh at because they flipped the picture. Yeah. So if you click on it and look, the question mark on Peter Davison's collar is backwards.
Yeah, he's going the wrong way. He's running away from the TARDIS with it looking like that, isn't he?
I hate them when they do stupid stuff like that.
Well, if you notice the new graphic I did for the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, which features us extremely regular presenters, so anybody who missed out on appearing on that particular graphic, don't feel hard done by, but me, Debbie, Mary and Kirby are
magic,
very very regular, especially when we eat certain fibers,
celery.
I knew that was coming.
But the picture of me on that is flipped, just like to point out, just to be in keeping with these thingies. Sometimes you have to flip images to make them work. Debbie Melrose says Christopher Gable was a lot prettier when I first saw him. Oh, is that a picture of him next to
Richard Chamberlain?
Richard Chamberlain. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Then we got Ian Kirk's script. Jim Ford was posted a picture of Shara's Jet, which is the
Live and Let Die.
Live and Let Die, that's it. Yeah, very spooky. Is he the one that used to do, he did funny things with his mouth? I can't remember that. He was a very spooky character.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Yeah, he was great.
He was afraid of snakes too, apparently.
Yeah, but he was great. He's fantastic in that film. Back to Doctor Who. Robert Wentz Jr. says, lol, yep, Shara's needed a snake.
Duress.
That's what she said. Anyway, Laurie Nick says, remember that one time after Fetish Club when you forgot the safe word and everything? Not really, Laurie, to be fair. And everything went suddenly pear-shaped. Irony of the Fifth Doctor's tenure for me is that we are finally getting the Doctor we're wanting and then it's all over. That happens a lot with Doctor Who, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
Especially when they only do 3 years. Well, better to leave on a high note. Some may say this story is overrated. I disagree. I recall the excited anticipation I felt when Sixie appeared at the end. So much promise. Oh, well. We'll soon see where that leads. Then Kirby posted a link to a genuine Grundig remote control, just to be Kirby. Neil James, oh my god.
You can buy one.
Neil James has written a Bible. My goodness. This is the sort of thing we're looking for. Trouble is, it's normally Kirby that reads this like that. He says, Caves of Androzani, a rare example of Doctor Who, of the director, writer, and lead actor all at the top of their game, coming together and pulling off something truly epic. Robert Holmes fills this tale with gritty, interesting characters. The harshness of Stotts and the eeriness of Android Saladin are wonderfully acted. All the guest cast are superb, and I particularly like the hate triangle of Jek, Morgus, and Chelak. Morgus, complete with his sinister Shakespearean asides to the camera, is so horribly evil that I literally cheer when Jack madly throttles him to death. speaking of Jack, he is a terrific character, murderous and businesslike, but also with a sympathetic streak. The performance is sensational, especially in his scenes with the Doctor and Perry. Nicola Bryan excels as Perry becoming more and more ill. The limited location work is great, as Graham Harper somehow sells to me that a sandpit in Dorset is an alien planet. His direction is fresh, energetic, and always and interesting. Also, Episode 3's cliffhanger is my favourite ever. Finally, to Peter Davison. This is his best story, and he goes out of such an epic high. He's incredible in this story. The desperation and determination he conveys as he flees the machine gun fire is fantastic, and he doesn't want to end his era by saving a planet or preventing a war, simply gives his life to save his friends. Doctor Who at his very best. And I always find it amusing that the Fifth Doctor's last word is Hadrick, yes. Yeah. Well, it's more in his mind. I don't think he actually said it in his mouth. I know it's not perfect. Yes, I'm looking at you, Magma Creature, and you, Morgus TV Remote Control. But I can happily ignore those things when everything else is so strong. Loved it as a kid, and love it even more now.
Oh, he made a mistake
Absolute
there.
Absolute triumph. 5 out of 5. Pardon, Robert?
No, he's just got out of 5.
Five stars out of 5, that's what it says.
No, it just says out of 5.
No, but he's put 5 stars before it.
I can see no stars.
Yeah. Huh? You can not see the stars. Anyway, Robert Wentz Jr. said, I think the Doctor was trying to say he was sorry to Adric. He couldn't get it out. I had nothing against the actor.
That's what she said.
Or what he portrayed. Neil James said, sorry, this is such a long gushing piece of feedback. It's good, Neil, keep it coming, because normally Kirby would be reading it. I can assure you that that the Colin Baker era's feedback will be short and far less positive. Hey, that's so harsh. Of course, it's still going on. What do we need, Matthew? This sake. Matthew said, there's a Big Finish audio, Circular Time, whose last episode is set in the Doctor's mind with Nyssa helping him stop a mind trap.
I think I've heard that
one. And the Master
one.
Set. It explains why he says Adric. Yeah, thank you. Hi, Matthew. Now, shut up. Right, let's move on. there's more feedback. Terry Miles has sent an email which says, hi, 20 Megabyters. In this one, surprise, surprise, the Doctor and his new companion, Perry, land in a quarry. Sorry, new planet called Androzani Minor in a mining colony. As usual, the Doctor is captured, this time for arms smuggling to mining planet. The Doctor and Perry are sentenced to death by firing squad. But a mysterious masked intruder comes to their aid. This is Sharris Chek, master android creator. He has created androids of the Doctor and Perry who were shot. Sorry for the spoiler, but it was 30 plus years ago. Androzani Major may have a president, but the planet is ruled by a big corporate types. The rulers of the planet are desperate for Sharris Jek's head because he controls Androzani's supply of Spectrox, a regenerative drug, which means he's prepared to die for. Sorry about this attempt to read back, but
get Matthew to read it.
Who would walk into a lift without looking inside first? Well, he got distracted, didn't he?
He was being distracted by Mark.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't expect it, would he, to be fair? The guy did not deserve to be president. He was an idiot. Well, we've got plenty of leaders of countries that could fall under that particular bracket. Hang on.
Yes.
Thinking of big businessmen, especially at the moment, speaking of big businessmen and presidents, has the White House got a very long shot? Politics on the show, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this one reminded me of the Phantom of the Opera. Yes, we don't talk about politics on this show, not unless it's completely satirical and in relation to the podcast, to the episode. Moving back, this one reminded me of Phantom of the Opera. It was a bit meh. No, it wasn't. And shouldn't have been the one for Davison to leave on. Yes, it should. Yes. As this four-parter marks the end of Peter Davison's era of Doctor Who and the start of Colin Baker's as the Time Lord in his 6th incarnation. I remember the stories getting worse from here due to the BBC M grade not wanting the programme. Thank you, Terry Miles. Well, thank you, Terry Miles. There we go. Right then, so we've got something else come through as well. I'm very busy here, I've just noticed. I will need a break in a minute, girls. Hang on, what's going on? Why is Isabella not in here?
Cat.
She's supposed to be helping me with a quiz. Right then, so we've got this.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Captain.
The Caves of Androzani by Robert Holmes. Today is the longest day.
It is.
Especially for the Doctor.
Not here.
The Doctor first gets himself poisoned. Then he is captured, only to be kidnapped by someone who is keen to meet Perry. Then he escapes, but he is captured by mercenaries. Then he escapes again. Then he turns into Colin Baker. We are underground again. I wish I had kept track of what percentage of the stories are underground. At one point, Perry jumps down part of the cave system, but bounces back into view.
I didn't even notice that.
He jumps down the same part, but he is not bouncy.
Yeah.
Early on, Morgus dispatches a messenger, who replies, "Yes, sir." Extras almost never have lines, because he costs money.
Yeah.
That's true.
Sheriff Jake only had a few hours, or perhaps 1 hour, to create two different size androids to replace the TARDIS crew, and to teach the android Perry to talk with that accent. The opening scene was the last one filmed. It gives a reason they are there, to get some glass. A bit implausible.
Mm.
Where did Sheriff Jake get the cloth to make the clothes for the TARDIS crew androids?
Ah.
Androzani Beta does not look like it has a haberdashery shop. Sheriff Jake puts black makeup on his left eye where his mask is black. I've not seen most of the Batman films. Has Batman ever seen applying makeup? Bat's milk? That reminds me of a quote from the TV show Red Dwarf. It lasts for ages because nobody will drink it. Sheriff Jack wants to be friends with Perry. He could have sent an android to get Bat's milk, but he only mentioned this when it is too late.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
As very it says true. In the TARDIS Wikia, of the humans, only the two women survive. Morgus's assistant and the Doctor's assistant. Even the monster is killed.
Yep.
Can the Perry android be repaired?
Ah.
I'll ask you for a friend. Bye for now.
Yes. Yes, thank you very much, Ian. Brilliant as ever. And I hadn't even considered the fact that he should have sent an android down, so he definitely gets one of those for that. Brilliant.
Why did you think of it at the wrong time?
Yes, superb. Right then. Oh, my goodness. Oh, she's back! Front and sides too! Hurrah! Right, we've got some blurb to read out, so we need to decide who's blurb. Going to get it.
Dad!
Pardon?
Dad.
Yes, my darling. What'd
I've
you say?
I need to go and walk the dog.
You got to go?
Yeah, I need to walk the dog.
Well, how long does it take to walk the dog?
Dog?
Yeah.
Half an hour.
We'll probably still be here by then. So.
We'll come back. I need to go walk the dog.
Just so you can miss out on the quiz. Brilliant. Well done.
She'll make sure it gets walked for an hour then.
No, we're doing the last bit of feedback, darling, and then we'll do the quiz. If you'd like, make yourself comfortable. And
Bye,
darling. Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Yes, Alicia's 23 tomorrow, everybody.
Yay. Or today if you're in Australia.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Right then, so where were we? Oh, yeah, so we'll get right then. So we've got to... So it's either going to be... Actually, what should we do? Should we do it by fun in regards to... who's not got access to a digital device that can read text? I mean, that you could read text from. They're all gone very quiet. Okay, right.
Why would we not be having access to a device that
I'm going to send Alan T. Butcher's feedback to somebody, right? So we need to find out who might not be able to receive this message.
Oh, send it to Matthew.
Okay, we'll send it to Matthew.
He won't be put up.
That was easy. Pardon, Matthew? Okay, we'll send it to Matthew. Right then, here we go, Matthew. Prepare
yourself.
How are
you sending it? How are you sending it?
Facebook Messenger. Right, so Matthew, do you have a Facebook Messenger?
I do.
Do you have the text I've just sent you?
Why is it so long?
That's what she said.
I do.
Then you may commence.
I'm questioning my will to live.
Right. Scrolling all the way back to the top.
Yes.
It's a long journey, Matthew.
It is. If I'd known this, I would have done the warm-ups I learned when I was doing Shakespeare. So
I need not your needle, they're needless to me, for needing needles for needless you see.
Let's see here. Phantom of the Mud Bunker in There Inside Your Minds or The Doctor's Brother. Dear 20 Megabiters, Case of Androzani is, of course, a closely studied catalog of political and foreign policy pitfalls of the later 20th, or is that early 21st century, examining the manipulation of economic resources and supply issues caused by conflict and the arms trade in which supposed enemies are those who supply, those also supplied with weapons, as well as the dangers of commercial dominance over political power. It covers many issues. Its conclusion points to the instability of these arrangements, as well as the fragility that can bring down the political underpinning of the scenario if information is not controlled adequately or falls into others' hands. I've spotted two typos and the need for four different commas. Sorry, Alan, it's the writer in me. Let's see here. It should be noticed that while some suggest that this was a rewrite of the power of Krull, the lack of a Krull-like figure belies this considerably. We also learned that the Doctor's brother caused him no end of trouble, and the Doctor Who spin-off comedy Sink or Swim was working here deep undercover as Elegy.
Good point.
Before his
great reference.
Before his much longer mission later to become Thomas Edison and a bit of serious secret Time Lord meddling. Well done, Adam.
Wow.
Yeah. All in all, Case of Androzani is an impressive Robert Holmes greatest hit story. Can I get a ding there, Adam? Thank you. The Krull-like gun running, the Grell-like phantom villain, and the allies turned enemies, as per the space pirates, coalesce here into a different and more brutal tale which carefully unwinds in parallel around a very simple but heroic end to the Fifth Doctor. The Doctor and Perry's doom is set just a few minutes in as they carelessly stumble into their inevitable grisly deaths, but our hero saves the innocent companion he has let down by a superhuman act. We can conclude that we have a writer who understands the character. We have a mainly, if not entirely, excellent cast and Shakespearean-style breaking of the fourth wall, which serves the story while giving access to the second most devious mind in the story, the first being Timmerman. This Doctor is perhaps 22 episodes too short, as Peter Davison really had just got the hang of it and would have been worth seeing for another season, series, or year.
Indeed.
Next up, Doctor Who in the Trail of Goo, or The Doctor is Back. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Yay. Well, thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Alan. And I forgot to do some stuff off the feed.
That was fun.
Oh. Yeah. Good. We picked well.
Should be on the show more often then. Right, so we've got Lillian Robbins says, I think it's very good. My top 10, City of Death and Genesis of the Daleks are better. Lillian Robbins says, have Matthew read stuff.
Yes.
Neil James says, thanks for reading all that, Adam. I wasn't expecting it to grow so long. That's what she said. Terry Miles, live feed stopped, has it?
No.
I think it started back up again. Alan T. Butcher said, walk the dog. Now I know that is a euphemism. Yes. Somebody let me know if the feed's still running, because my computer did freeze at some point. Fortunately, the audio carries on when the computer freezes.
It's just stuck on here.
So let me know if the feed has started back up again. That would be helpful, because now it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
We won't.
And Neil Jones. James said, feed all good. And that's the dog, if she was in there, would be delighted with that statement. This week we got Matthew, Debbie and Mary, but it's not in that order, it's the opposite way. We've got Quizmaster Isabella, who's going to read out the questions depending on how we end up rolling the dice.
Adam,
Mars says it's okay now. So the category is
Robert.
Oh, does he count? Okay, we'll have Robert in as well. Sorry, Robert.
I'll sit out.
No, you won't. Sorry, Robert.
I'm not dead yet.
Sorry, that was up in the air. That was my fault. I will blame myself for that one.
I'm gonna throw it up in the air and catch it.
No, you're not.
Here I am.
No, stop it. Otherwise, I get stressed. Supposed to be Father's Day. Supposed to be looking after me and being nice. Okay, so is everybody akin with the rules? Doesn't matter if you're not, because it's going to be that way anyway. Where's the categories?
Category Mary's cards usually disappeared. Good with the categories.
Do I look like
Hang on, there's some cards here. I wonder if it's any of these.
You don't really need to know the categories, do you?
The categories? Well, just pick a card. Oh, here's the categories. Here we are, I found the categories.
Pick a card at random.
Alexa, front room light on.
Okay.
Now we can actually see. Right, so do you want me to... I'll do the rice doling. Or shall I say... Give me the bloody dice or else...
Yeah, you do the rice doling. There you go.
So there we go. We're going to start then with Mary. Now, this is a possibility, because the cards got shuffled, that somebody might get the same question as been on before.
We're going to get some more ones that we've just done.
You ask the questions. I roll dice. It comes up with the colour.
I'm stupid?
Take the fifth.
Orange then, Mary, which is Cast, Crew and Beyond.
Oh, God. Okay.
Mary's expertise.
What's her last name?
Mary?
No, this one.
Yes.
Oh, I can't. Callow.
Okay, thank you. Simon Callow has appeared in Doctor Who twice, alongside the 9th and the 11th Doctors. But who did he play on both occasions?
Ooh, that's a difficult one.
I know.
Oh, Matthew knows. You won't get any points for it, but...
I've got no idea.
I'll just hazard a guess. The Master?
Nope.
Well, Matthew said he knows first.
Charles Dickens.
Correct.
But you don't get any points for it. There's a point in the bonus spot.
Okay.
Don't forget the Jokers. Right, this is Debbie's question. It's a green one.
Don't forget to play Joker.
Monsters. It's a monsters question.
Where in Lancashire were the Morax imprisoned for war crimes?
I think it's Joker at Pendle Hill.
Yep. I'll take that.
Well, as you said, but I'm going to go what you said.
That one.
Yeah, that will do.
It'll do. You said yes.
I said yes.
Well, if you said yes, it's a yes.
Where about specifically do you want it under Pendle Hill?
Yeah.
Well, it's still right. Anyway, right then. Robert, you got a yellow one, Robert. Okay. Stories and episodes.
Okay. In Planet of the Ood, how was God Commander Kess planning to kill the Ood?
What was he doing? I can't remember. Damn.
That's the crux of the question, really, and you need to remember to get the point.
No, really?
Wasn't he taking them out of the hive mind kind of thing? I don't know.
No.
I think I know.
Oh, hang on. I'm going to do this. And Matthew, for no points.
I think he was going to fumigate them.
Was he?
Elaborate. What's fumigate?
Poison, gas.
There we go. See, I'm not smart.
Yeah, you're only going to use the word that's on the card. Yes, for no points, that would have been right, Matthew. It's ironic if you now get a question that you don't know. Right then, so
it would be the story of my life.
You're going
yes.
purple. He has to put his years and dates for Matthew.
Who played the Doctor between 1981 and 1984?
Oh my goodness!
I'm gonna play my Joker on this one.
Really?
It would be Peter Davison.
Yeah! Wow!
Well done, Matthew.
You couldn't get that one.
Impressive.
Wow. Yeah.
Just be talking about the fellow.
That was gonna say.
Right then. Oh, so bonus pot, 2 points. Orange, Cast, Crew and Beyond. Don't ask the same question. You'll have to move to the next card.
Here we go. In which US state is Area 51?
I know.
Go on then, Matthew.
Nevada.
Yay.
Right, so it's going to be 2 points given or taken away.
Nevada. Not because I've written an entire book about UFO conspiracy theories in regards to another TV show or anything.
We're going to raid Area 51.
Right then, so, Alexa. Oh, actually, it's heads you give them. Isn't it heads you give them?
Heads you give, points, tails
heads you give, tails you take away. So, Alexa, flip a coin. Alexa, flip a coin.
Shut up.
Flipping. It's heads.
So you give the points to someone. Who are you going to give 2 points to then, Matthew?
Please, Matthew.
Well, since he asked nicely, I'm going to give him to Robert.
Well done, Robert.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm jamming.
Back to the beginning. Mary, you've got a... Oh, it's green. You've got a green one.
Ow.
Ooh, yuck.
And which is monsters.
And what's... in which story was Davros first introduced?
I know.
Genesis of the Daleks.
Yay!
Oh, I should have used my Joker.
Mm. Yes!
Well.
Right, Debbie, you've got a purple one, which is years and dates.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What 1970s sitcom links The Unicorn and the Wasp with Paradise Towers?
No clue whatsoever.
You no clue?
No.
Okay.
Anyone know?
No.
What
no.
is it then, Isabella?
The Good Life.
Oh,
does it? Okay.
Richard Briers and Felicity Kendall were both main stars.
Oh, well, yeah.
And
go.
Also a guest star in Doctor.
Well done. What your name is. Right then, Robert. You got a purple one too.
Oh.
I think it's not going to drop off. Colour. In the alternate timeline created by River Song to save the Doctor's life, which wonder of the world housed Area 52?
I think I know.
I've got no idea. Why don't I do ask classic coup questions?
Apparently Matthew knows for no points.
I believe it's one of the Great Pyramids of Egypt.
Is it?
Yes, Great Pyramid.
Apparently so. Yes, well done. Right, Matthew, your question. You've got a green one, monsters.
Giza is in Egypt, lovey.
Giza.
What, you're going to be cheeky then?
No,
you have that face on you.
I'm just stupid.
She comes up with these nonsensical things. She isn't stupid at all.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. You're geeky. Can't be silly when you're stupid when you're geeky. Can you get on with a blimmin' question? It's a green one.
What does Julius Grail, crime kingpin of 1930s New York, keep chained up behind a curtain in his study?
I believe it was a weeping angel.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. So, bonus points. A bonus pot. 2 points in the bonus pot. The current scores are, by the way, in last place, 1 point, Mary. Still got a joker. In joint second place, or third place, with 2 points, Mary. Sorry, Debbie and Robert. I might as well not have done it. I can't speak properly this evening.
I can tell.
I need some chocolate. And in the lead with 3 points. Surprise, surprise. It's Matthew. Okay, we've got Lillian Robbins said it hasn't stopped. Oh, that's still talking about the feet. Nothing much coming through on there, is it? Everybody's so gripped by the quiz. Next question goes. Oh, it's a bonus pot. Right, here we go. Let's see what we've got for bonus pot. Blue. Time Lords question. Bonus pot. Here we go.
What was the name of the insectoid creatures the First Doctor met on Vortis that became militant when a
yes, Robert.
Fungus spread across the planet.
It's the Zabi.
Is it the Zabi, Isabella?
Yeah.
Say it properly. Zabi!
Zabi! So there's 2 points to go somewhere. Let's see where it's going to go.
Because I've just been reading about that in Running Through Corridors.
Cool. Right then, so, Alexa, flip a coin.
Hang on, he hasn't said what he wants yet.
No, I know. That's why we need to flip a coin, Debbie. I'm very quiet, isn't she?
He said heads.
What did Alexa say?
Heads.
Heads, right. Who are you going to give 2 points to then, Robert?
What, sorry?
Who are you going to give 2 points to?
To Mary.
Oh, Mary.
It's Mary's last.
That's a safe one to give points to.
We go back to the beginning. The current scores are Debbie and Robert on 2 points, Mary and Matthew on 3, and still jokers intact for Mary and Robert. Don't know how that happened. So, Mary.
Gotta be a question, that's why.
Blue. Time Lords.
Ooh.
What was the name of the planet on which the second Doctor fought the small hostile robots called Quarks?
Ooh, that's a difficult one.
God, that's different.
Ooh, I have no memory of that.
Anyone?
I think I know.
Go on then.
Is it Dulcian?
Is it?
Dulcian?
Dulcis.
Dulcis. Dulcis. Oh, of course it's Dulcis. Yeah, now you've said it, I remember it.
Close though, well
yes.
done.
Yes. Close, but no cigar. Right then, Debbie.
Yeah?
You've got a yellow one, which is episodes and stories.
Okay.
Aww. My favourite episode. What alien technology turned people into gas mask zombies in The Empty Child? My favourite episode.
I know.
Well, I know it was nanobots, but but I'm not sure exactly what the alien tech was.
Okay, so what are you going to come up with? What answer are you going to give then?
I just said nanobots.
Okay. Is it?
No.
No. Nobody's come up with that. Sorry, Rob, who said something?
I said, are you my mummy?
No, I'm not. But what was the answer then, Isabella?
I thought Matthew said
you were right with the nanos, jeans.
Nano jeans.
Well, that's right, wasn't it?
No.
She said nanobots.
With nano something.
Oh, I think that. What do you think? I think Debbie should have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's near enough. Thank you, as well. I'm going to give that to Debbie.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to give you that one as well, just so we end. Don't you glare at me like that. Nano is the important word in that answer. Okay, right then. So,
well, it could be nano turds or nano or anything. Think about it.
I shouldn't really have that point because I said nanobots.
Doesn't matter. You've got it. Right then, Robert. You've got
similar.
An orange one. Much to Isabella's annoyance, you have the point. Robert, you have an orange one, and that is Cast, Crew and Beyond. Be quiet.
No.
Ooh, that's a classic.
Which famous building in New York did the Cult of Skaro and Mr. Diabetes? What does that say?
You're waving it. Am I supposed to
Joker,
read it?
Can I?
Go on, then.
It's the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Should have played Joker.
I did.
He did.
He did.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
You are deaf.
Right, Matthew.
Yes.
You've got pink, which is Companions.
Oh, God. What was the first name of the girl who told Donna she had lost 11 pounds in 5 days using adipose capsules when she visited her?
Oh, bloody.
I don't think it's bloody. Do you think it's bloody? I want to think it's very doubtful.
No. That wasn't her name.
I actually don't know this one.
It had to happen at some point. Crime. So,
since I've seen that.
Anyone know?
No.
Who was it then?
Stacey.
I thought something
Stacey,
like that.
Stacey,
oh. Oh, that one.
Tip of my tongue, yeah.
That's what she said. Right then, so we got 1 point in the bonus pot. And stop looking at me like that, Isabella, because it's all the thing you say.
Still.
Purple, and a purple question is a years and dates question.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Go on, then.
Who played the Doctor between 1987 and 1996?
I know.
Oh
my gosh.
I think Robert said I know first.
Robert said just, yeah.
It's actually Matthew's favourite Doctor, Sylvester McCoy.
Yes.
Point to Robert. No, it's not, because it's a bonus pop. We don't know yet, do we? Robert gets to give the point. Sorry, I forgot my own rules there for a moment. Right then, Alexa, flip a coin.
Tails.
Who are you taking a point off then, Robert?
I couldn't do it to Matthew because he gave me points before.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to hate to do this too. Sorry, Mary.
Mary! Oh, what a friendship over there, I think.
Left at the bottom. It's
so in last place is Mary with 2 points. In joint second place with 3 points each is Debbie and Matthew. In the lead with 4 points, it's Robert. We move back round to Mary, who's the only person who hasn't played their joker.
Go on, Mary.
Yeah.
Pink. So companions.
Which insect girl aide to Professor Yana was the last of her race, the Malmoof?
I know that one.
I have no idea.
Oh. That's the one.
Anyone?
Did you say you knew Adam?
I sort of know it now. I don't think I know it.
What do you think it is?
It's like, she said it her. She more or less said her name and everything she said. Yan Cho or something like that.
Ho or something.
Shan Cho.
Shando.
Yeah, I wasn't far off it. I would have given myself a point for that.
No.
What?
No.
I mean, no. Point into the bonus pot then. Debbie, you've got a green one.
Have I?
Which is monsters.
Oh, God.
What is the name of the group of Daleks that mastermind the pig slaves and the Dalek hybrids in Manhattan?
Cult of Skaro.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Cult of Skaro.
Yep. Is correct. Right then, so Robert.
Yes, sir.
You've got a purple one.
I hope it's not catching.
Years and dates.
Which year was it when the Doctor encountered Jackson Lake and Mercy Hartigan?
Oh, my
I think they
goodness.
Mean what year in the actual in timeline of Doctor Who, not year
I
was
know,
it made.
Yeah, I know, not the actual year, which was 2009.
I like this one because friend of us, Valila Shabalala, was in that story. We love Valila.
She's amazing.
I have absolutely no idea. It's like 1800 and something.
Yeah, don't have a guess. Have a guess, go on.
1862?
Is it wrong, Isabella?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was close.
So what was the answer then? Hang on. We've got
a guess
coming through from Matthew.
It's, Robert was actually, you weren't that far off. I think it's 1851, if memory serves.
Yep.
It is right, but unlucky.
Wow.
Right, Matthew. But you wish you had that one now, don't you? You got a green one, which is, of course,
ooh,
monsters.
That's not going to drop off.
No.
What was the name of the giant space station that the Second Doctor defended against the Cybermen where he first met Zoe Harriet? I think that's how you say her name.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's the Wheel.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I thought it was.
Because it's the Wheel in space.
In space.
Yeah. And this is at this point my computer decides to lock up again. So we just have to wait
the
for it.
Internet is terrible.
No, it's not the internet. It's this computer. It locks up. So this
I
is
believe
we probably
the term you're looking for is operator error.
No, honestly, no. You got a cramp.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
No, it's it's all to do with Creative Cloud, which is an Adobe online thingamajig. Which
why are you updating then?
No, Adobe it keeps on needing to be rebuilt quite regularly. The trouble is I need Adobe Creative Cloud, so I have to say yes to it needing to be rebuilt. But while it's doing that, it has a effect on the computer that the whole screen freezes while it's thinking about it. Fortunately, processes on the computer continue, like the show as we're talking now, because I can still hear you guys. It's just the computer screen has completely frozen, so I'm just trying to pad this particular situation out for between now and when it actually releases itself. Why are you stood up?
Well, I guess the cold never bothered it anyway.
Yeah, and also the live feed is saying, well, sorry, we're having trouble playing this video, which rather does imply that could be an internet issue after all. But we can continue with the quiz.
But if it was an internet issue, surely there would be a problem with the Skype call then.
There should be a problem either with the Skype call or with the live stream. Yeah. They wouldn't be able to see it.
Yeah, it's just because I think it's because the computer. Anyway, let's get on with the quiz. Where were we? It's Matthew's question. We do your question, Matthew.
I just had a question.
And how did you get on with it? Because I've lost the plot now.
I've
given you a point, haven't I?
The answer was the wheel because it was the question about the wheel in space.
Right, so there's a point in the bonus pot. Blue.
Which is?
What was the name of the academy that rogue Time Lord Borussia taught the Doctor at?
I think I know.
Go on, Em.
Is it Prydonian?
Is it? Hang on. Ooh, that'll do. It says the Prideon Academy, but that, I think that's close enough, so we'll give it a point for that one. So there's
that's
a point.
Your Prideonians from attending there.
All right, we're getting close to the crux of this quiz. Right then, Alexa, flip a coin.
You got heads.
Oh, so you can give a point to someone, Matthew. Who are you going to go for then?
Give to Matthew. Agnes.
Am I, as I say, am I allowed to give points to myself?
No, you're not. No.
I thought I'd ask. In that case, I will make up for Robert and I will give the point to Mary.
Yay! That was quite a popular decision.
Everyone
especially
was
with
like
Mary.
Get to play
so, the scores are 4-4-4-3. If you can guess who. Oh, why are you rolling the dice? That's my job. It's an orange one, anyway.
Australian actor Peter O'Brien starred in The Waters of Mars, but which of these Australian dramas did he not play a main part in? Home and Away, The Flying Doctors, or Neighbours?
I know.
Oh, Debbie said I know first. Debbie?
I thought it was a bonus part. I thought it was Mary's question.
Mary, I'm getting confused because I'm getting technical issues in the background and it's putting me off. Yeah, go on. Mary, what's the answer?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a
multiple choice, so you've got a chance.
Yeah.
Home and Away.
Correct.
Yes, you got it right.
Oh, all right.
Should have played a joker, or maybe not.
Did she play a joker?
No, she didn't know she can play a joker.
I
don't
play jokers on guesses.
No, well done, Mary. No. Right then, Debbie. You've got a green question, which is monsters.
What is the yellow member of the new Dalek
paradigm?
The paradigm called.
Oh, I've got one downstairs.
Have you now?
Oh.
Is that like scientist and all that kind of thing?
It'd be the scientist one.
If that is the right answer, Robert gets a point deducted. Go on, Em. What is it, Isabella?
Eternal.
Lucky Robert. You got it wrong. But he did rather mislead you there, Debbie, into the wrong answer. So I'll let it fly.
I've got a specialist Dalek downstairs.
So I'll let it pass on this occasion. Right then.
The yellow one?
Yeah.
So Robert gets a blue question.
Can I lead him astray too now?
What does the ghost monument on Desolation turn out to be?
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah, precisely. I've got no idea.
I know.
Okay, well, that means we get this. And another point goes in the bonus spot. Debbie seemed to know because she said, oh, for God's sake. What's the answer then, Debbie?
TARDIS.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even, what are you stood up for?
I've got cramp.
Well, you surely haven't still got cramp.
I do.
Right then, so next question goes to... Oh, God. No, not God. I've just lost the plot. Who's that? Robert. Right, here you go. Robert gets a green question, which is monsters.
Didn't he just have a go?
Robert had the question.
Yeah.
Sorry, Matthew, that was Isabella's fault.
How's that my fault when you're paying attention?
When I asked... Well, because I'm busy. When I asked the question... Oh, never mind. Green question. It's all going wrong. Right, green question for Matthew.
What alien race was Broton the leader of?
Yeah, what alien race was Broton the leader of?
That's easy.
Yeah?
Yeah,
he's
like...
The Zygons. I'm not even going to look at the answer for that one.
Let Zygons be Zygons.
Yes.
Getting to the crux of the quiz now because there's 2 points available in the bonus pot. Here it is. It's going to be orange. Cast, crew and beyond.
Which BBC department performed the original Doctor Who theme tune? Stereophonic Workshop.
Hang on, Robert knows.
Radiophonic Workshop.
Yep.
Right, so Alexa, flip a coin.
Flipping. It's heads.
Ooh, who are you going to give 2 points? Who are you going to win the quiz for, Robert?
Mary.
Mary's going to win!
I'm going to win?
Oh, shut up. I'm quite excited, Isabella. It's lovely when my quiz works out. So, yes, Mary wins the quiz. The final scores were, in last place, were jointly 4 points each, Debbie and Robert. In second place, not 5 bad. Points, Matthew. And Mary wins, not even having played her joker. Well done, Mary. It's absolutely amazing.
Answers
to any of
the questions.
Yes, you did, Mary.
Well done, Mary.
When you play you.
YouTube sits down and say goodbye and stuff. Was that the end bit? Oh, played the wrong bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Isabella's going.
Bye.
See ya.
Right, I've got right. Now I'm going to play the right quiz. That's the end bit. Just gives me a chance to. Now, I've got a message saying whilst it's playing that the live stream is still fine. I don't think it is that. Yeah, it's frozen.
Not for me.
Let it go. Let it go.
Well, I don't know what's going on. The clock's still running. My screen says, sorry, we're having trouble playing this video.
Oh.
I'll live with it. Huh. So, well done, everyone. That's much. See, I knew this quiz format could work. All right.
But then Mary wins.
Speak for yourself, Adam. Speak for yourself.
Oh, be quiet.
Entirely with gifted points.
All right. I've pressed on the wrong thing. Oh, yeah, we're going to do news, weren't we?
Is there?
I was thinking about news the other day. News. I can move my microphone now because she's... Hang on, I'm just doing some background stuff on the podcast. Like turning the audio recording down.
People who really know this stuff, you know, should be feeling highly offended.
Oh, darn, that's the volume, not the... how do you turn that? There we go, right. It's going to sound a bit odd on the recording because I'm just fiddling around with the recording device on air, which is a bit weird. Okay, what was I going to do? I was just about to do something, wasn't I? No, something comes to mind. I was talking about... that I've been up to. Oh, FantasyCon. Yeah, how could I forget? FantasyCon has been postponed.
Because of COVID-19.
For 364 days.
For a year, then.
30th of October 2021. Simply because it was not definite enough as to whether the restrictions will not all be intact by the time we get to the end of October. Certain guests didn't want to take the risk because of the uncertainties. We moved it to then. We've already got Clive Mantle on board. He's staying on, as is the chap that's in Star Wars, Richard Oldfield, and Kai Owen. So they're all said they're coming along anyway, which is very early for celebrity guests to agree to do a convention, even though they'd already agreed to do it. So there are other announcements to follow. But with so much time between now and then, I'm not going to be in a rush to announce, you know, guests, even though things are going to change on the guest front to a certain degree. Louise Jameson... at the moment will not be coming. Not her fault, it's just the way the circumstances have expressed themselves. I'm sure there was something else I had to say, but while I'm trying to think of that, we'll put Doctor Who news on the screen. Anybody else got any news?
Well, what about Concus Cerberus? What's happening with that, Matthew?
We're still aiming for October, the 10th and 11th. At the moment, the guest list is still intact. We're keeping an eye out because I know there's still a travel ban from the UK in place, and there has been some talk that they may extend that to the end of the year, which in that case, that's going to affect our, you know, what guests we'll have. So right now, I can say that we're aiming for October 10th and 11th, but like with everything else, the situation is very fluid right now.
Like my milk is.
Like your milk.
Well, one would hope your milk is still fluid. Is it bat's milk?
No, cow's milk.
Right, not much on Doctor Who news. We've got the two doctors on the Late Late Show, Jodie Whittaker and David Tennant, both featured on the Late Late Show with James Corden a few hours ago on the 19th of June. Ooh, I wonder if that's available. It must be, looks like it's available to watch.
It is.
It's on YouTube, apparently.
Yeah. Ironic, obviously, that the doctor that James Corden appeared in stories twice wasn't in that particular thingy. Doctor Who Time Lord Victorious Volume 1 is
that's the Titan comic is part of the big thing they're doing. It'll be the Titan comics big finish, and I think Character Options is apparently going to do some figures for it as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
The global educational partner Twinkle has partnered with BBC Studios to create a range of educational Doctor Who resources for children between 7 and 11 years old. So Arachnids in the UK, which I wouldn't quite recommend.
It should be right for me then.
Night of Terror, Rosa and Demons of the Punjab. Yeah, not really much there to be fair.
Well, you did miss one at the top, which is there's a new volume in the Obverse Black Archive that's come out.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that, but then I got sidetracked by the fact that they haven't mentioned what's been on social media quite a lot, is the talk that they can't make Doctor Who at the moment, or anything, due to social distancing. So they're implying they're not making...
They have been doing... but they have been doing those lockdown specials.
Yeah, but we're talking about actual Doctor Who rather than these good fun fillers. They're talking about the filming of the series, which they probably would have been well underway by now. So they're saying that...
Well, they weren't planning on filming. They had originally said way back in February and March, just before this all kicked off, they weren't planning on filming till September at the earliest.
Yeah.
But now that we're getting close to September, they still don't know whether they're going to film or not.
We're close to September.
Well, I suggested they move the whole shebang out to New Zealand, where apparently it is... possible to do such things.
No. Well, they actually had a case.
I think they had a couple of they had a couple of expats who flew into the country and apparently brought it with them.
I heard about that, but I don't know if it's actually developed into anything. I'm sure there was something else I had to report. Debbie, what was it I had to report?
There was also, you forget they filmed the Christmas special though, haven't they?
I know, they've already done that, and that's in the can.
I can't remember, so that's you did something. Say you had something to report, and I'm sorry, I've completely forgotten.
No, I thought I might have said something, but I've forgotten.
Sponsors?
No, that wasn't, I always talk about sponsors, so it wasn't going to be that. I did get some, I got a really good Funko Pop, you might have seen on the Facebook page, which is... beautiful. I still look at it and think how wonderful it is. It's Tony Stark on the verge of death, basically. Tony Stark is a character from the Marvel Universe.
Oh!
Yes. He's on his knees, about to click his fingers and therefore die to save us all. It's the most beautiful of Funko Pops.
Where did you post that?
I posted it on my own timeline.
Ah, I thought you said on the...
No, my own timeline. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what threw me.
Was it? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
And also today, I got a smaller version of Thor's hammer thingamajig.
Thor's finger.
There it is.
Thor finger.
And look, it's really hard. Right, go, you can hit your own head.
That's what she said.
Oh, shut up. You can't say stuff like that on this show. Nobody else does.
Don't hit it with a hammer.
I also got a nice T-shirt as well for Father's Day. So yeah, I'm sure there was something else.
Yeah.
Next week,
well, Adam, while you're plugging that, can I talk about my book from Obverse that's out?
Nearly missed out on that one, didn't you? Yes.
It is non-Doctor Who, but since you brought up some non-Doctor Who stuff, I thought I'd give it a mention.
Accidentally.
I alluded to one of your answers, Matthew.
Yes, I alluded to it with one of the answers. My book came out back in April. It's been that long since I was on the show. From Obverse Books, as part of their Silver Archive range, which is a spinoff of the Black Archive, so looking at cult TV in general, and my book about Dark Skies, which was a show that aired, I think, on Channel 4 in the UK in the mid-90s and on NBC here in the States, is out now, dealing with all sorts of fun stuff, including UFO conspiracy theories, in fact, in fiction, and even some references to British sci-fi as well. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, the book is out now from Obverse Books.
Well done, Matthew. Yes. And a very, very succinct and short plug, which I do quite like in these circumstances. I wish I could remember what I was going to say, though. Oh, well, I suppose I have to live with not remembering what I was going to say.
Didn't you write it down somewhere?
Too late. I wish I should have written it down in the first place. Hmm. I know there's a fantasy con thing that I've already done. But it's nice to know the fact that people appear to
not something that's been on TV or anything.
Been watching some TV, old One Foot in the Graves on BritBox.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Yeah.
It's not that LaVarzi launched their own podcast, is there?
Might have been that, actually. That's getting close to it.
You put that on the 20 Megabyte page.
Yeah, maybe it's on there. There's the cue. That could be the clue that's on the 20 Megabyte. Yes, LaVarzi, I haven't actually listened to it, though.
Not yet.
But yes, they've looked around. I wonder where they got the ideas from.
Ah, and also, you could mention about the voting for the podcast.
That's it. Right. That's brilliant, Robert. That's what it was. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, Robert, while I start looking for other stuff. Yes, very important. Or do you want me to do it?
Well, you can scroll down to the...
To the link. Okay, safe, everybody. This is it. Yeah. This is the thing. Right, the British Podcast Awards.com/vote. Now, if you click on that particular link, or just type it into your, search engine or whatever.
Browser.
That comes through a page. It says Listener's Choice Award supported by BBC Sounds. At the bottom, it says Search for Podcast. In there, you type 20 megabyte. And it comes up with the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. You click on that and then fill out the details and submit your vote. You may at some point, if you're lucky, after that get a confirmation email that your vote has been...
I got a confirmation email. I didn't get sent one.
You didn't send one?
Yeah, I got a confirmation email.
Good,
that's great. I haven't voted yet.
What?
And Matthew,
it's easy to do,
Matthew. Stories from the Vortex is on there.
Yeah, which is funny. We haven't done one.
Which is funny because we haven't done one since 2017. Maybe this is a good time to resurrect it.
So there you go. As I was saying,
is it in the search? You know, when you want to put in what podcast, you have to put in Doctor Who, and then it'll list all the Doctor Who podcasts.
Yeah, but if you put 20 megabyte, it just lists us. It.
Interesting. Yes.
20 megabyte Doctor Who.
Yeah, just put in 20 MB and then we come up, select it, vote it. We've got no blimmin' chance, to be fair, but it's a good bit of fun. It'd be not interesting to see if we do get some voting coming in. So please vote for us. It's the first time we've actually had a chance to.
On Monday, 6th of July.
But thank you, Robert. I'm saying this is, and the British Podcast Awards have been around for a few years now, but this is the first time we've actually had a chance. And the fact I've said, even though it's a slim chance, it's a chance. So, as I said, you're looking for BritishPodcastAwards.com/vote. And then you can pick us, vote for us. And, of course...
Can I add something to that?
Nomination, yes.
Well, you can always create lots of different email addresses under various different names and submit.
As if I've got time to do that.
Different entries.
So cheat, in other words.
Yeah.
Stuffing the ballot.
Well, the idea is vote, share, vote, share, vote, share, and then hopefully we'll get enough people voting for us so people will recognize us. Take notice of us, I suppose. It would be about time after 10 years of podcasting for that time.
I did just give the vote, and I just got my confirmation email, so it's that easy to do, folks.
Thank you, Matthew. Don't get any more points for that, but thank you very much. I was mentioned on the Legend of the Travelling TARDIS podcast, which was on yesterday, I do believe, actually.
Yes, it was.
Yes, I was mentioned. I did. I was sort of following the feed and typed some stuff in, and Christian very kindly read it out. I didn't listen to the one you were on because I had other stuff to do. I couldn't spend the whole day watching feeds, but he's a lovely chap, Christian, isn't he?
He's a nice guy, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so it was really good. And I did share the feed that I was involved in. On the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
On June the 20th.
Matthew, if you want to share the feed that you were involved in on there, you're welcome to do so. We can all have a good laugh. I mean, we can all
please watch do that, Matthew. With,
yeah,
please.
I'd be happy to.
next week it's the Twin Dilemma. And
God help you.
Into the penultimate era of the classic era, sort of.
What is this? God help you. Aren't you going to be a part of it, Matthew?
I haven't decided yet, given what given my I think it was Twin Dilemma. Just to say, the last time we did Twin Dilemma and Attack of the Cybermen, as I recall, I had some very controversial ranting involved. So
what's been on that episode?
I thought I would spare listeners' ears this time around.
We'll see how we get on. But so thanks, everybody. It has again gone over time. Don't know why. Sorry about that, Debbie. But hopefully next week. Why haven't we managed to do that with only half of Kirby? I really don't know. But anyway, it did happen.
Yeah.
I must be working a little then. Bit as it's midsummer.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's midsummer. No, it's are you going to go down the seafront and watch the sunset?
No.
The skies are blue. It actually would be visible today.
No, I'm not taking
the skies are blue here as well.
Okay, then.
And it's winter.
Yes. So until next time, thank you for listening, watching, taking part. Please keep the feedback coming in, however long or short it may be. Goodbye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
So yeah, long, thanks for all the fish.
Scarecrow.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who podcast alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.